Colonel, were there any health or medical problems other than the obvious combat casualties which you encountered at Quezon?
I can't think of any, and you're catching me a little bit cold because I should talk with the doctors, I guess, but I can't think of any real medical problems that were out of the ordinary. We had certainly within limits a malaria which varied within the seasons, but specifically medical problems not associated with, of course, the evacuation of casualties is always of prime concern to a Marine commander, that he does it expeditiously and as rapidly as possible. No, I can't honestly think of any medical problem which was unique at Quezon.
Well, then, your men did enjoy the other comforts of life, within reason, due to the continual artillery attacks, the comforts such as meals, hot meals, etc.
Well, I wish I could agree with you, but I can't, because I guess if we want to be non-technical about this thing, they did get a hot meal every single day, as long as they had the tabs to cook it with, or they could get some wood to heat the sea ration with. But as for the hot meal in the sense that people normally think about it, in other words, did he have steak and potatoes and eggs? He had eggs if he could get scrambled eggs and bacon or ham out of the sea ration box. Could beat somebody else to it. No, we did not enjoy the luxury of hot meals. As it went on towards the end of the 70-odd day period we're talking about, you'd be surprised at how many individual messes and how many cooks turned out to be, where they pooled bee ration and stuff like that and cooked up the meal. I will say, in all honesty, admiration of 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines, they managed to keep a stove going in which they cooked cake and cookies and all kinds of bakery goods during most all the fighting. They only did it 3 days a week, but they did do it, and I'm happy that they kept the regimental commander supplied, too.
The regimental commander didn't enjoy filet mignon or Chateaubriand, but it was the nearest thing to home under the situation.
That's right. The cookies tasted mighty good. That sergeant deserves a lot of credit. I don't know how he kept that galley going, but he didn't. It was as clean as a whisper, even though it was underground, and he had the best apple turnovers I've ever eaten, almost as good as Mrs. Lowndes's.
During the battle, exactly how important, from your standpoint, Colonel, was the weather, and what role did it play?
Well, the weather obviously plays an important part. And I think probably the most critical thing about the weather was the transportation, the movement of people from place to place is basically the same on either side. But the big factor of the weather is that, as you know, we had air support, and we also had aerial observation in which we could call in artillery support as well. And when the weather turned bad, of course, we lost this advantage. So I think this is probably the more important part. You know, we have methods and of bombing with aircraft and firing with artillery, which are not affected by the weather. But for the pinpoint precision needed, I think this was the greatest effect the weather had.
Now, after having fought this North Vietnamese from the north at Quezon, and also having experienced the interrogation of the prisoners, what's your opinion of this North Vietnamese soldier as a combat man?
Well, it varies. It varies from unit to unit. I think we're all recognize that every unit has a personality of its own. Every unit seems to do better at one thing than another. And I don't think that they're any different. There were, in the regular North Vietnamese Army forces, real fine units which had good camouflage discipline, good morale, good discipline overall, were good fighters. There were examples that I can think of where people came in with a rifle and a few rounds of ammunition and were expected to fight. So if you ask for an overall evaluation, it's difficult because of the differences in units. And now, late in the battle, 1-9 got in a scrap down around Hill 471. A number of the people that we picked up there were extremely young. I mean, we're talking now people 13, 14, 15 years old. They were young. They had, I guess you'd have to say they had good discipline because they kept coming even though they were getting mowed down. It's difficult for me to evaluate. What I saw was there's good and there's bad, and the good are real good and the poorer ones are real poor.
Well, let's look on the other side of the fence now. I'm sure that in your days as commanding officer of the 26th Marine Regiment that you must have had some lasting impressions of the Marines that served under you, perhaps more specifically at Khe Sanh and the siege there. Do any of these incidents now come to mind?
Well, to ask a Marine colonel to pick on or to point out the merits of the individual Marine is really, I think, too much. I don't know of anybody that ever has been a Marine or associated with Marines that doesn't have the highest admiration for the Marine enlisted man, his devotion to duty, his it's just something about him that's out of this world. And with me, I don't know about anybody else, but I get kind of sentimental when I start talking about it. They're just the greatest. You can go from any type individual you want to the boisterous, loud, aggressive type guy who, when the time comes, turns out to maybe be the most sentimental, wonderful guy you'd ever want to meet, to the kid who throws himself on casualties to keep them from getting killed, to the aggressive guy who will charge a hill to by himself rather than try to get to casualties, the guy who goes back to pick up his squad leader because his squad leader was hit, the assistant squad leader who takes over the squad leader. I guess you kind of think I like Marines. They're the greatest.
Colonel, these are general impressions, I gather. Is there a specific incident of outstanding bravery which you witnessed or was witnessed by members of the 26th Marine Regiment which you can now relate to us?
Well, I think probably the one of the ones which certainly was most brought out was one that has some bad aspects, I guess, as far as the Marine Corps is concerned. But overall, is a typical example of a Marine was a boy Spicer from Miami, Florida, who was for a time given a hard time by his fellow troopers because of the fact that he had developed was a conscientious objector, I guess, and they had asked that he be placed in the sick bay and to help out there, and I certainly agreed with it. And when the time came that for this boy to do his duty, he certainly did it in what was as outstanding a manner as you possibly could want. He actually, to my knowledge, laid on bodies to prevent casualties from being further wounded. He, even in spite of some of the leaders telling him to get back, refused to, and stayed with the casualties, protecting them. I understand now that he died after he got home. It was a miraculous piece of surgery by the naval surgeon who operated on him and happened to be there at the time he got hit. But I've heard of many other cases, that one I particularly know about, but there's probably an outstanding man for bravery and courage and fortitude and anything else you want.
Judging from the last 45 minutes, Colonel, it's been pretty obvious to me that the individual Marine, the small unit commander, as I think the Colonel referred to as some minutes ago, only had to follow their commander and or commander's example. Now, tomorrow you're going to be presented the nation's second highest military award, the Navy Cross. What are your feelings on this, Colonel?
I don't know. Of course, any guy who gets decorated is more than pleased that people would think that much of him. I've often said, and I said it to my staff and I said it to my unit leaders, that any decoration I got was, as a colonel, was directly related to them, and that as far as I personally was concerned, that any decoration I got as a colonel would be, in my heart anyway, would be worn on my chest only because they saw fit to get it for me. I wish I could say if I got it as a platoon leader or a squad leader, I think that this is a different story. I think that those men really earn everything they've got. But for a colonel, I feel that the 26 Marines and all those units associated with it won the Navy Cross, but I'll have the glory of wearing it on my chest.
How long will you be in Washington and or the Washington area, sir?
I don't know. Right now, with the Division of Information guiding my destinies, it's hard to say, but I plan on leaving Saturday morning with my wife and going to Philadelphia and seeing my grandchildren.
While you're in Philadelphia, Colonel, will you have an opportunity to go by the Naval Hospital there to perhaps visit with the Marines who were with you at Khe Sanh or with you in Vietnam?
I certainly hope that I have this opportunity. I'm sure I will. My son-in-law's in the hospital in Philadelphia, so I'll probably get to see him, too.
Colonel, how did this command at Khe Sanh compare with your earlier duty assignments? And I'm thinking more specifically about the Dominican Republic and also Korea and World War II, your combat assignments.
Oh, I don't know. They're all the same, I guess. You got you're given a job to do, and you do it, and you got the best in the world to do it with. How can you miss? I mean, if you mean personal glory-wise, I guess there's no question that I got more personal glory out of this. I've been publicized up and down, and sideways and crossways, and I've gotten a Navy Cross, so I guess personal-wise, this would have to be one of my better achievements, although the kids have always held me up, and they're all good.
Colonel, do you think, in view of this publicity which you just mentioned, and also the actions of the 26 Marines at Khe Sanh, that the battle at that particular combat base will go down with other great leatherneck achievements? And I'm thinking now about Tarawa, Iwo Jima, where you also fought in the Second World War.
Oh, I don't know what history will record for Khe Sanh. History should record that there were a valiant group of Americans, Army, Navy, Marine, Air Force, who did what they were told to do and did it to such a point that they were successful. Only history can decide where this battle will take its place. For an individual to try to record history before it's history is just impossible.
One last question, Colonel. Do you see an early solution to the Vietnamese problem?
Well, I was with President Johnson today, and I wish you'd ask him that question, because I certainly can't answer it.
Colonel, do you have anything else at all you'd like to add, sir?
No, I don't. I think I've said enough already.
Thank you very much, Colonel. This is Marine Captain Bill Stuckey.